This is KCAS Radio.
Classic rock
to the bone.
KCAS Radio and the KCAS Radio app. Download it now and be like the thousands of folks who are like, man, this is good stuff. It never turns off. I can listen to it 24 hours a day. Even during my Zoom calls, it won't turn off. It's the KCAS Radio app. We are celebrating the life of one Edward Van Halen, and I could not think of a better guy to get on this morning than Damon Johnson. Of course, you know him from Brother Kane here locally in Birmingham. He played with Alice Cooper's band. He's written thousands of songs. He just did a virtual Thin Lizzy tribute about a week and a half ago. It's fantastic. Joins us right now as he calls in from Atlanta. Damon, good morning to you, brother. How are you?
Good morning, Tony. We're doing pretty good, man. It's a sad day. It's a very sad day.
You know, it really is. And I was sitting there when I knew I was going to have you on the show here on Curry and Claypo, and I was trying to think of some different questions. I thought, you know, I'm just going to have a chat with my good friend and talk about what Eddie Van Halen meant to you. What did he mean to you? And how you play your music and your musical career, and just how influential was he in your life?
Well, he was so big for me, Tony. It's hard to find the right words. I don't even think the adjectives exist for me to properly quantify his impact on me, just like millions of other people. But, you know, it's kind of like when the Beatles played Ed Sullivan. You know, how many times have you heard people talk about what a seismic event that was? Eddie had the same impact when he arrived, when Van Halen put out that first album. People just couldn't get their heads around it. Like, what is this? Whatever it is the most incredible thing I've ever heard. And of course, if you saw him perform live in concert, it was even magnified. But man, I will never forget 1980 Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center, the Women and Children First Tour changed my life. Tony Curry changed my life. I walked in the door of that arena in one state of mind, and I left there forever changed. And he put me on my path, man. I thank Eddie and credit him for just inspiring everything that I've been able to do afterwards, man. He had that much influence on me.
You're giving me goosebumps this morning. Damon Johnson joins us here, of course, a Brother Kane fan. He played in Alice Cooper's band, also, of course, Thin Lizzy, and did a great virtual tribute about a week and a half ago. I hope you get a chance to check it out. You know, Eddie, it's interesting because when someone passes away, you really get a chance to delve into what the man was really about and as a family man and certainly as a player. I didn't realize that he had never gotten a chance to read music, or he never wanted to read music. He was so good at the piano at the age of 6 or 7 years of age, it wasn't a challenge to him anymore. He picked up the drums, and then, of course, Alex picked up a bass guitar. He said, hell, I'm going to play guitar too, and next thing you know, he's just picking up, listening to music. Explain to me, that's a God-given talent, when you can just pick up a guitar and just listen to something and play it. I don't know how you learned how to play guitar, because you're a great guitarist in your own right, but talk about the differences between guys, and I guess this goes for every industry, where there's some people have to work so hard to be the best in their industry, and some guys who can just pick it up. It doesn't take away from their electrifying and wonderful playing techniques, but I mean, the fact that he was so good at playing guitar, it was like he was born to do it, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the things, let me back up a second and tell you, Tony, I don't know if you remember this, but Brother Kane, we supported Van Halen mm-hmm. in 1996 on their Balance Tour, and we got to play Birmingham Jefferson Civic Center with them. You can imagine what that was like for me yeah. and the guys. It's like it was just some crazy dream come true to get to play with them in the arena that I had seen them as a kid. Eddie and I had an opportunity to talk about this very thing, and we both reflected on the fact that we were lucky that we grew up in musical homes. You know, his mother played piano. His dad was a top-level clarinet player, jazz musician, and it was the same for me. My dad played guitar. My mom sang, played piano and such. So, you know, that's a great foundation to come from, but, you know, Eddie and Alex being brothers and discovering all that great music in the 60s, you know, together. I mean, can you imagine the impact Jimi Hendrix had on Edward? You know how much he loved Eric Clapton. But he somehow, man, put all of that music into his filter and processed it and presented it to the world in a way that has never been, you know, a level that's just never been duplicated, man. He changed the guitar. he changed the world, man, with his guitar playing. He's the GOAT. He is the GOAT. You know, it's been just overwhelming. All the tributes, all the photographs, all the reflections from every musician you can think of. I heard you guys talking before you came on air, everybody from John Mayer to Tom Morello to Slash to the Ricky Medlock from Skinner had a beautiful tribute. Just the list goes on and on.
Hey, Damon, so talk about, I had two questions. One, I'm going to go back and get a little psychological on you. You talked about walking out of that concert and it changed your life. So you were already a musician going in. I assume you're a young musician going in. How did it change? What did you do coming out of that concert when you had that experience? Because I think a lot of us who are not musicians, we go into these concerts and they feel transformative, but then we walk out and then we just go back to our life, you know, and it goes away. What did it do different for you?
That's a great question. And I appreciate you asking that. You know, I was 15, maybe about to turn 16. I had already been playing. I was getting fairly proficient on the guitar, you know, learning songs of the day and, you know, all the great classic bands. I was starting to mess around with Led Zeppelin and Skinner songs, and et cetera, et cetera. But for me, growing up in Alabama, you know, we didn't really get exposed to a lot of punk music, the energy of punk. For me, Eddie Van Halen was my punk rock in that he didn't care about tradition. He didn't care about playing by the rules. It was fun. It was energy. It was fast. He played guitar like he was having the greatest time in the world. And he did it with so much technical proficiency. You know, obviously him putting both hands on the fingerboard and doing the two-hand tapping. Guys, it was like a magic trick.
Yeah, no doubt.
And even when you're standing there watching it, you're like, how is he doing that? And, you know, he's doing that with David Lee Roth standing next to him with his shirt off and his hair and all the girls are going crazy. The light show, the sound of his guitar, the tone of his guitar. We've all been chasing that, guys. I'm still chasing it to this day, trying to sound like Edward Van Halen.
That's great. Damon Johnson joins us here. Of course, he played with Brother Kane. He's doing this Thin Lizzy thing, which is fantastic. And of course, he's got some solo efforts out, including his brand new stuff. And we'll give you some more information on that a few minutes ago. I had totally forgot that you had opened up Van Halen at the BJCC in 1996. Tell us some more about how you got the call, because at that time, Brother Kane had the number one album-oriented rock tune in the country. I remember playing it on Classic Rock 99.5, and we were so happy that you had the number one song in the country. It was huge, and Got No Shame. But tell us about how that phone call went down, how you got with the band. What were some of the intricacies of how that night went down? That's amazing.
Well, see, you get me excited now, Tony, because I remember every minute of this. Brother Kane was on the road. It was our second album, and indeed, we had a song, And Fools Shine On, that was our second number one after Got No Shame.
Yep.
And we knew there was a possibility we might get some dates with Van Halen. And we were in Detroit, and my manager called me. I remember going to a payphone because I'd gotten a message after the gig, call the office. So I called from the payphone. I said, hey, what's up? He goes, we got the Van Halen tour. And I remember just leaping in the air, and, you know, the guys were all sitting in the, I guess, in the bus or something. And I just remember saying, we got it. And everyone's high-fiving and running around. The first show was in Dayton, Ohio. And Tony, we get to the gig in the afternoon. We're sitting in catering, and Van Halen's tour manager, Scotty Ross, also a legend, he comes over and introduces himself. And he says, hey, Damon, I understand you're a big fan. I said, Scotty, there are no words. And he said, well, listen, Eddie's down in the dressing room if you want to go down and say hello. He didn't get the sentence out of his mouth. And I dropped my fork, jumped up, and took off, you know, for the dressing room area. So I go to their dressing room and very you know, with much shyness and kind of stage fright, you know, I kind of pull the curtain back and I look in, I don't see him. I go down to two or three other dressing rooms. I can't find him. So I'm walking around backstage. I'm like, well, he's gone somewhere. Maybe I'll see him later. So I go back to our dressing room and I open the door and there's Eddie Van Halen over. He's over at our, you know, one of those big igloo coolers, you know, where they got the waters and the sodas and the Gatorades and all that stuff. And he's digging around in our cooler. And I just said, hey, man, why don't you go to your own dressing room and find something to drink?
That is great.
Hand on my heart, Tony. He looked up, started laughing. He walked over to me and he planted a big fat kiss on my cheek.
That's great.
He goes, you must be Damon. I said, Ed, this is big for me, buddy. I don't know what to say right now. He goes, don't worry about it. You're here. We're on the road together. We're going to have a great time. I mean, I'm about to get tears in my eyes right now, dude, telling us.
No, I got tears in my eyes. Jeez, what a great story. What a great, great story. Damon Johnson joins us here on Curry and Claypool. What a great story. We were talking off mic before we brought you on about the roles that the classic rockers or rock and rollers play in their bands. And the one thing that Eddie, I thought, did a great job at, and I mentioned the fact that I got on David Lee Roth's tour bus outside the Five Points Music Hall one night, and this is about 9 years after he had left the band. And I asked him, I said, you know, how do you and Eddie get along? And he's like, you know, I think my ego finally just wore him out. And he kind of snickered. And then he got really reflective. And he's like, I think I messed it up. He's just an effing great guy. And I just can't seem to get out of my own way. And then he backed up and said, but, you know, my ego really, you know, forced Van Halen into the forefront of the flamboyant clothing. And I said, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I think Eddie's Dan, just he was so good at knowing his role. He didn't need to have the FaceTime as much as the lead singer did. And even in the Sammy Hagar days, he did. How does that work? How do the dynamics of a classic rock band, or you can go back to your Brother Kane days or even Alice Cooper. You knew Alice Cooper. People were there to see him. But with Thin Lizzy, you being the front runner there with Thin Lizzy, what talk about how that works and from an ego standpoint, how distracting it can be.
Well, listen, man, that's a lot that you're covering right there.
Yeah, I mean,
that is a story that is as old as our rock and roll genre, really. It's difficult, man, when you get two powerful performers, you know, with different visions about what they want to do. They're getting different levels of attention. And I think that's what made Van Halen so special in the beginning, guys, is they certainly appeared to be totally unified.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, David Lee Roth giving all the attention to Eddie, you know, Eddie sending it back to him. Mm-hmm. And it was like nothing that had come before. You know, I mean, you know, Led Zeppelin had some of that, you know, with Plant and Page, but this was just different. This was different. The songs were faster. It was louder. The songs were about having a good time, celebrating life. And It was like a roller coaster, man. It was like a ride at a theme park.
Yeah, I'm gonna
with explosions, you know.
With explosions. I'm gonna.
You know, they didn't have to wear makeup. They didn't have to wear leather pants. They didn't have to have some big fancy video screen. All they had to do was come out on stage and play those songs.
Yeah, we had John McEnroe. And you're not going to know where I'm going with this, on our show about 4 years ago. And John is married. Do you know who John's married to?
He's married to Patti Smyth.
Yes. Yes, she is. And of course she of Warrior fame and of course the Scandal. And they reached out to her to actually join Van Halen after Sammy left the band.
Whoa.
And I asked John and it was weird because we were on to talk about some ATP tennis thing. And I really didn't give a crap. I wanted to talk about Patti and why she didn't join Van Halen. He said, well, you know, she had just become pregnant. And once she met Eddie and the rest of the band, she's like, this is probably not a good spot for a pregnant woman to be in. After she has the child, he goes, I just don't know if she wanted to get back into that rock and roll type of style thing, which really kind of plays into Eddie Van Halen, just as the individual. I mean, the dude had a third of his tongue, you know, cut out, and he's still smoking cigarettes. And I guess that's what rock and roll exemplifies, and why we love it so much. But I thought it was a great story. And when he told me that, I was like, Van Halen, that's damn straight. Van Halen, they're going to do things their way. And I thought that was amazing, but a great story.
Hey, Damon, you'd mentioned that you said, you know, you're still to this day trying, you know, in your own way to have those, when you're playing, sort of those Eddie Van Halen moments. And I was thinking about the parallel with athletics. Do you ever have a set or do something where you just nail it? And maybe it's not, you know, it's not the first thing that comes to your mind, but it's like, yeah, I had my Eddie Van Halen moment in terms of the way I played or how I carried a song out or something like that. I mean, does it ever cross your mind even after the fact?
Sometimes. Yeah, man, sometimes, you know, my job, for lack of a better word, has kind of evolved through the years because I started out strictly wanting to be a guitar player. I wanted to be Eddie Van Halen. And all the people I went to high school with up in DeKalb County, if they're listening right now, they're nodding their heads going, yep, that's all Damon ever talked about was Van Halen. So, you know, my path took a little different direction when I got behind the microphone as well. And then all of a sudden, songwriting became another priority. It's like I had to kind of learn this other trade in addition to being a guitar player. And, you know, I guess I've always aspired to capturing that energy just in any performance, really, guys, not just the guitar solo, but playing, singing, trying to connect with people the way that, you know, Eddie connected with me and the way Van Halen as a band connected with me. Gosh, I've got so many stories going through my head right now. Mm. So one time we're on tour, and this is kind of to your question. I'm in the dressing room. Somebody says, hey, man, the brothers want to see you. Go down to the dressing room. I go into the dressing room, and there's Alex and Edward. And Al says, hey, Damon, come in, sit down. So Ed and I are talking. We really love your band, and you're super talented. So we're talking about what would be better for you if you should just be a lead guitar player and get a singer, or if you should just be a lead singer and get a guitar player. Oh, he said, and Eddie's sitting over on the couch, chain smoking, shaking his head like, man, Al didn't know what he's talking about. Alex goes, listen, Damon, think of the greatest bands of all time. There's a front man and there's a guitar player. Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Van Halen, you know. And then Eddie's heard enough. So he gets up and he throws his cigarette down on the ground. He goes, Al, how many times do I have to tell you? Damon can do them both. He shouldn't. He keeps singing. He keeps playing. He goes, have you ever heard of Jimi Hendrix? Have you ever heard of Peter Frampton? How about Kurt Cobain? What about Billy Gibbons? And then, of course, this was an out-of-body experience for me, guys. I'm standing in the middle of their dressing room watching the two brothers have an argument about me.
Oh, that's great. What a great story.
Awesome.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So let me ask you this. You know, we've been talking about, you know, so Tony's got the indirect connection because he interviewed David Lee Roth. And I've got a very indirect connection because I grew up in the Valley with, you know, Eddie, not personally knowing him, but sort of contemporaries, et cetera. But you're right there. I mean, you played with him. You know him. You had conversations with him. And we were talking about sort of the impact of that, you weren't necessarily his best friend, you know, for a lifelong friend. But what does it do when someone like that dies, who you did know, who you did have a connection with, maybe weren't friends forever, but what are you feeling now? And I'm asking that because we were trying to figure out what we feel right now. And yours is very different, I would assume.
Another great question.
I'm a shrink, sorry.
Know Eddie, even to the degree that I did, and to spend some quality time with him. I went to the house one time in Los Angeles. He invited me to the house. I saw the studio. all it does for me, guys, is it just makes me want to work harder, because it just fuels my belief in myself and my self-confidence. It's like, hey, if I'm getting an endorsement from the greatest of all time, then I don't need to worry about anything anymore. I just need to roll up my sleeves and do the work, because I have every much right to be here doing this as he did doing it himself. It's a different kind of inspiration. You know, he inspired me as a kid in one way and kind of set me on my path. But then he inspired me again, guys, as an adult. It's like, hey, man, welcome to the club. You're one of us now. What do you got? Step up. How good are your songs? How good is your guitar playing? How good is your tone? And I'm just telling you, fellas, I feel like I owe my career. I literally feel like I owe my career to Edward Van Halen. You can quote me on that.
And you will be. Damon Johnson joins us here on Curry and Klepo on the KCast Radio and the KCast Radio app. Just one final question. I want to get a little personal with you. We talked about the special relationship that Wolfgang and Eddie had with each other, and the fact they got a chance to play together and play in the same band was just amazing. I know as a father, and I know you're a father as well, you love to share your craft, your skills, your loves with your children. When your children can take those on, it's super cool. You mentioned the fact you're over in Atlanta right now hanging with your dad, and I love that. And you said, we're just talking about Eddie Van Halen around the breakfast table this morning. How did your dad influence you in your playing? You came from a musical background in your family. And just how important it is that you can actually talk to your dad about what you do for a living.
Thank you for that, Tony. Yeah, I mean, literally, you know, my dad was the beginning. I mean, he's the one that really put the fire in me, because he played guitar. He would play with his brother, or he would play with his friends. And I just got to be around that, man. What a gift for me. I couldn't even really appreciate it at the time as a young kid, you know, 9, 10, 11 years old. But, you know, it put me in front of it. And that totally started my beginning love of music, and specifically of the guitar. So he really was the opening chapter for me, my dad. And then Eddie took me to the next level. Eddie took me to being a professional. My dad taught me to love the music, and then Ed showed me how it's done. Like, hey, man, this is the path. This is the path you got to take. Because, again, guys, I'm from small town Alabama. You know, you see a great concert and you think, oh, man, I wish I could do that. It's just not going to happen. It's not possible. You can't get from the marching band at Geraldine High School, you know, a 1A school, with all 12 grades in the same building. You're never going to be a professional musician. It's just not fathomable. Well, guess what, man? It happened. And I owe it all to my dad and to Eddie Van Halen. Those two.
Yeah. Man, what a great interview, dude. That's probably one of our best interviews I think we've ever had together. And that's why we have you on. We greatly appreciate you. We love you. Keep in touch, right?
I will, brother. Hey, thank you guys for talking about Ed. Keep it up. He was the GOAT, and we're going to all miss him and love him forever, man. Thank you for having me on.
We'll talk to you soon, Damon. Yeah, there's Damon Johnson joins us right here on the Curry and Klepo. Oh, man. I don't think I've ever teared up from tears of joy, from laughter. What an amazing interview.
Did you know some of those specifics? Was that the first time you
know? I know Damon like a brother, and I had forgotten they opened up for Van Halen in 1996. Okay. I just reached out to him because I know he's a classic rock guy, and he plays great rock and roll, and I know that he knew Eddie, but I didn't know the intricacies of some of their – just a fantastic story that he
you know, that parallel, that's sports too.
Yeah.
I mean, I kept, as he was talking, I just kept thinking about young players who, you know, the Michael Jordan, and now I got to be on the same court, you know, and the Magic and the LeBron. And it's what he said was so, the theme is so there. It's this, I went and I watched them, and I thought to myself, I never could do that. And then fast forward to some period of time, and I'm here. And it's an out-of-body experience.
No, it's fantastic. Thanks to Damon Johnson joining us here. We'll podcast that soon so you can hear it again. That was fantastic. And if you missed any of that interview, you can hear it again coming up here at 11 o'clock this morning on the KCast radio app. So if you missed it, you want to hear those stories again. Those were great stories, man. Those were fantastic. We celebrate the life of Edward Van Halen this morning. inspired so many of us, including one Damon Johnson. Incredible rock on. Yes, we're going to talk some weather. Hurricane Delta is wreaking havoc. JP Dice will join us here in just about 20 minutes at 8:45 this morning here on KCast Radio, the KCast Radio app. Good morning.
This is the home for Curry and Clevo. This is KCast Radio. Classic rock to the bone.